Let us turn now to the Gospel according to Mark and chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And verses 27 and 28. Mark 15 at verse 27. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. I'm sure most of us here can remember a time when we've been made guilty by association. Maybe some of the children have been in the situation where maybe a group of other children have done something wrong. Maybe they've bullied somebody else, and in running away from that scene, maybe they've bumped into you, and then maybe a teacher arrives and you're all grouped together as guilty, although maybe you had nothing to do with the bullying. You're guilty by association, and no matter how much you might try to protest to your teacher, maybe she might look at you and simply say, you're one of them. You're joined with them. You're just like the rest of them. She numbers you with the transgressors. And this verse here is a verse that is describing Christ in a similar way. The fulfillment of the prophecy we read in Isaiah 53. In verse 27 we read of Christ being crucified between two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Numbered means to be associated with, to be joined with, connected with, enrolled with, registered with. There can be a numbering which has no moral stigma though. For example, many of us have seen in recent days all these queues at airports. Everyone's just a number to the airlines. Everyone's in it together. There's no one special. They are numbered together. But there's no moral stigma attached to that. No one of them have done anything wrong to get into that situation. But there is another kind of numbering, association, which carries with it moral stigma, which implies moral wrongdoing and brings a stain upon our moral reputation. You think, for example, of a prison. You go in there and you'll see people, and mostly, at least in many prisons, they're wearing the same clothes and they all look the same. It really doesn't matter what kind of crime was committed, whether it was a lesser crime or a more heinous crime. Everyone's wearing the same. Everyone looks the same. And therefore, everyone is associated with the same moral guilt. Now, if you've ever visited anyone in prison, before I came here to this congregation, I had to visit in Glasgow and Inverness sometimes. And you'll always notice that whoever you're speaking to will try to disassociate themselves from the rest of the prisoners. They might speak in terms of how bad everyone else is, but I'm not as bad as them. And what they're trying to say is, I'm not really numbered with the transgressors. I don't want you to really think that I'm like them. I want you to know that I'm kind of special. They don't want this guilt by association. They don't want to be connected with others. And yet we read here that there's a numbering with transgressors that's true of Christ, and that carries with it a moral stigma. And indeed, that he doesn't try to disassociate himself from the transgressors in this situation. These are remarkable truths. And it's made all the more remarkable because, as we hope to show, he was numbered with the transgressors, with the very worst of transgressors. He didn't choose to be numbered with those guilty of lesser crimes, but with the very worst, thieves and robbers and murderers. And what makes it even worse is that he was the very opposite by nature and by practice. He was the guiltless one associated with the most guilty. And what makes it even worse is that he was numbered with the transgressors while saving the transgressors from their transgressions. This heightens and deepens the wonder of this association. We'd like to look at two sides to this numbering. We'd like to look at how Christ was numbered with transgressors in his life. We might call that a social identification. And then he was numbered with transgressors in his death. And we might call that a judicial identification. In his life and in his death, both were saying, he's nothing special. He's just like the rest of us. And then we hope to show why he did this. First of all, think of this numbering of Christ with the transgressors in his life. Think of his beginning in time. How did he come into this world? Did he come in with a great, spectacular entrance? To make himself, as it were, stand out from the crowd? No. He came in like everyone else through the womb of a mother. From the very beginning of his existence in this world, he was numbered with the transgressors, associated with everyone else, identified with them, even in the very first formation of his human nature. And then think of his birth, born into a barn, cared for not in a cradle, but in a feeding trough, numbered with the transgressors, with the poorest and the lowliest of people. And remember, at his birth, it says that in Luke's Gospel that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And if you've got a margin in your Bible, you'll see that word is enrolled or registered. This was a census. And at the birth of Christ, he went, his parents took him there to Bethlehem for the purposes of this enrolling, this registering, this census. And his name would have been joined with his mother and with Joseph in that census. His name placed with every other name in that kingdom at that time. Literally, then, registered, enrolled, and identified with transgressors at the very birth of Christ. And then think of his being. What kind of human nature did he have? Was it a human nature that, as it were, stood out from everybody else? That was different in the sense of its frailties and weaknesses? Not at all. He didn't take on him the seed of angels, but the seed of Abraham. He took on him the likeness of sinful flesh. He took on human nature with all its weaknesses and frailties and needs. He was able to suffer pain, to endure hunger and thirst and tiredness. His whole nature numbered him with the transgressors. There was nothing about his nature that to an ordinary person said, this is somebody special. Indeed, when he was ministering at times, they said, you're just the son of the carpenter. We know your brothers, we know your sisters, your mother is with us. You're just like everyone else. He was numbered with, identified with the transgressors in his being. And then think of him at his baptism. He has a long queue of sinners waiting to be baptized by John, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Surely Christ is going to come along and start his own queue, or say, no, this is not for me. But instead, what does he do? He doesn't disassociate himself. He joins the queue. He waits for his turn. And when John protests and said, no, there's something wrong about this, Christ says, let it be. Suffer it to be so now, to fulfill all righteousness. And by his very baptism, associated with and enrolled with the human race. Think of his behavior in the sense of who he chose to be his followers. The fishermen, the tax collectors. He wanted to be associated with not the high and the mighty and the religious, the influential and the rich, but he chose the poor and the lowly and the despised. Those who were looked down on as sinners. Look at who he chose as his dining companions. This man eats and drinks with publicans and sinners. He wanted his behavior to communicate, I am numbered with transgressors. Look at the biography of him in the Gospels. What people said of him. This fellow, they said condescendingly, just like the rest of us. This fellow. He hath a devil and is mad. He's a blasphemer. He's Beelzebub. He's a drunkard and a winebibber. Everything about his life on earth numbered him with the transgressors. He went out of his way to fulfill this prophecy in his life. There was a social identification in his beginning, in his birth, in his being, in his baptism, in his behavior, in his biography. It said, I am numbered with the transgressors. But then think secondly of how he was numbered with the transgressors in his death. This judicial identification that placed him with everybody else and said, "He's nothing special." Think of his arrest. What happened? In Mark 14 and 48, they came out, and Jesus said to them, "Are you come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me?" They just treated him like everybody else in his arrest. In his trial, he was numbered with the transgressors. In the charges laid against him, he was numbered with the transgressors. In the conviction that was eventually lodged against him, he was numbered with the transgressors. In crucifixion itself, he was numbered with the transgressors, because this form of execution was reserved for the very worst of offenders. The choice of method of killing them numbered him with the transgressors. And his co-crucifees made him be numbered with the transgressors. Crucified between two thieves. And there's a suggestion, as there were three crosses, that the middle one was reserved for Barabbas, who of course was exchanged for him. And Barabbas, as we know, was also a murderer. And so Christ here placed not just on a cross for grave and gross criminality, but on a cross reserved for a murderer. The one who came to give life, numbered and enrolled in such a way as to convey that this is a taker of life and a killer of life. And the very fact that it's placed in the middle, all the focus of attention being on him, him singled out by this position, by the height, usually the middle cross was lifted up higher than the other, it all numbered him with the transgressors. It said he's identified with sinners, associated with them, enrolled with them, registered with them. He's no different to them. Why did he do this? And what did this mean in his own experience? Well, firstly, this was a daily identification. This wasn't something that happened once or even for a few days, but all life long. This wasn't guilt by association in a one-off incident, but throughout his whole life, there was this numbering, enrolling, and identification. This was a daily identification. But it was also, for him, a dreadful identification. You know, many people want to be identified with the rich, the famous. They want associated glory, fame, reflected back on them. This is an identification that people long for, covet, enjoy, will do anything to get. But this kind of association, associated with not just sinners, but criminals. And not just criminals, but the very worst of criminals. This is an association that no one wants and all surely dread and shun and will do anything to avoid. His being numbered with the transgressors, it emphasizes the ignominy, the shame and the disgrace of his death. Here, the creator of life, associated with the taking a way of life. He who came to save transgressors, accused of being and associated with transgressors. He who came to be the saviour of sinners, here enrolled in the list of sinners. He who was God, accused of blasphemy against God. I don't know if you can imagine, maybe think to yourself, what do I pride myself most in? We might, even the most humble person here, maybe look at our lives and see one moral virtue that we're proud of, in a sense. We maybe think highly of ourselves because of it. It might be our honesty. We are an honest person. The last thing, then, you would want to be accused of being is a thief. How that would hurt your proud honesty. And maybe you value your purity and chastity throughout your life. And then you hear a rumour going around that you've been associated with a vile immorality. How wounded and hurt and awful would it be for you to think of yourself associated with others like that? And maybe you are very proud of the way that you care for your children and look after them and do good to them. And then maybe you hear that you're being associated with those who hurt and harm children. These are wounding, agonizing, dreadful associations, are they not? And yet think of Christ, the honest man, here branded with, associated with, and identified with thieves. He who had a holy pride, we might say, in his coming to give life and to give it abundantly, here being regarded as a murderer. He who came to give the greatest gifts of all, here being accused of being a thief and a robber. These were dreadful, agonizing associations for Christ. But notice also this was a deliberate identification. This wasn't accidental or coincidental. Neither was it against Christ's will. We're told here that the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. This is also quoted in Luke by Christ himself going out to be arrested. And he's saying, let us go that the scripture might be fulfilled. He was numbered with the transgressors. This numbering, this identification with transgressors then was planned by God the Father. And it was fulfilled and done by God the Son in a very deliberate way. This was entered into willingly. This was not done under duress. This was not happening to him under protest. He did this deliberately, knowingly, purposefully, gladly. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And this was also a divine identification. It wasn't just that people identified him with and associated him with themselves as just like them, numbered with them, associated with them. It wasn't that it was the Romans or the Jews or the Greeks or the common people or the rulers that said, he's just a transgressor. God the Father himself numbered him with the transgressors, placed him amongst the transgressors by placing the guilt of sin upon him. And Christ was conscious of this. You notice in these prophetic psalms like 69 and 40, he doesn't speak there of their sins on me. He speaks of my sin, my folly, my foolishness. Such is the identification of Christ with sin. He places himself there. He takes that sin upon him. And his Father sees that sin upon him. And when the Father sees sin on a transgressor, what must he do? He must punish it. He must forsake the person who's committed it. And so at that last climactic moment, when everyone else had regarded him as a transgressor and was treating him as such, he turned heavenward. Surely there'll be a difference. Surely God will treat me differently. Surely if anyone will disassociate me from this, it will be my Father. But instead he turns heavenwards and he says, you've forsaken me too. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This was a divine identification and association with sinners. But it was also a delivering association, an identification with transgressors which delivered the transgressors from their transgression. And this was the great purpose, of course, of him doing this. He had a far greater end in mind than his own reputation on earth. He had the end in mind, not of defending himself from false allegations and accusations, not of disassociating himself. He had the end in mind of disassociating transgressors from their transgressions, of delivering sinners from their sins. And he could not do that without being fully involved socially and judicially in their transgression, being numbered in that way, socially and in that way, judicially. There was no other way to do it. He couldn't do this from outside the human race. He couldn't do this by standing separate from the human race in every sense. It had to be him enrolled with the human race to save the human race, the elect from amongst them. Here then, Christian, is your salvation. He was numbered with the transgressors that you might be delivered from them. He was numbered with the transgressors that you might be numbered with the saints. He was associated and identified with the very worst of God's creatures, that you might be identified and associated with him, and the very highest of God's creatures, with glorified saints, with the angels above, yea, with Christ himself, now in glorified human nature. Is that not worth celebrating? Will you not praise him for that, and thank him for that, and love him for that? See the pain he endured that you might have this comfort. See the name he suffered that you might get a name in glory. He was numbered with the transgressors. And if he was prepared to be identified with you, are you not prepared to be identified with him? If he was prepared to go so far, to endure such connection, such association, are you going to stand off from him? Are you going to disassociate yourself from him? Are you going to maintain a distance from him? What about in your daily life? Are you numbered with Christ? Do people know you're enrolled with Christ? Do they know that you are joined with him? Do you associate with him whatever the shame, the disgrace and the cost? When you see what he endured for you, are you going to try and get through this life as a private, secret Christian when he was prepared to do so much publicly for you? Can you really look at this verse, he numbered with the transgressors, and say, this transgressor will not be numbered with him? Can you do it? Safely? Happily? Surely here also we have a drawing identification. How this association draws sinners to him. It drew the very criminal who has been crucified beside him. It drew in the midst of his judicial identification. It drew throughout his whole social identification with sinners. Look at the kinds of people that were drawn to him. He didn't come to be identified with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Romans and the royalty. He didn't come to call the righteous. He didn't come to be associated with the moral. He didn't come to be associated with the upright, with those of good reputation. Notice who he came to be associated with. Transgressors, rule breakers, rebels, criminals. No, this won't draw the self-righteous and the self-confident. But surely it draws the sinner. Surely there is a compelling power in his willingness to be identified with people like us. At our very worst. You can't look at Jesus Christ and say, in this sense, he's too good for me. He is in one sense. He's too good for anyone. But he doesn't view himself like that. No one's too bad for him. And he draws people by this willingness to be identified. There was a campaigner against slavery in the United States. And he used to go around trying to get slave owners to set their slaves free with little success. And he would go to the slaves and try and persuade them that he was on their side and he was working for them, and they never trusted him. Until one day he decided that he would take on himself physically the chains of slavery. And he went to the slaves carrying these skin-scarring, bone-breaking, heavy, rusty chains. And they were all ears and all eyes. And he won their hearts. And then he went in front of these great crowds of slave owners, many of whom never saw the misery they inflicted on their slaves. And he stood on the platform now in his chains, rattling them, bleeding from them, scarred with them. And they too began to listen and to act. There had to be this identification, this association, to begin to break through the hardness of the human heart. And so it is with Christ, when he here is on the cross especially, with his sin-scarred hands, his bleeding body, it's saying, I am numbered with you. I'm associated with you. I can't make it any clearer than this. Who I've come to save. Look. He's not shaking chains. But he's on this tree. He's not pointing to links. He's pointing to nails. And he's saying, I will draw all men to me. This is a drawing identification. But finally, it is a damning identification. How can it be both a delivering identification and a damning identification? Well, you think of those here who numbered him with the transgressors, who saw nothing but a transgressor, who didn't see beyond the exterior, who didn't see beyond what he was doing here to the higher purpose, who didn't see his divine identity, who didn't, like the criminal, see through the blood and see through the scars and see through the trial and the arrest and the execution to see the King of Glory. What happened to such people who were so blinded that they numbered him with the transgressors and died numbering him with the transgressors, regarding him as no different, nothing special, just like the rest of us? What happened to them? They were damned for their blindness, destroyed eternally for this misidentification, for this blindness, for this failure to see that there was another truth that had to be placed beside his being numbered with the transgressors. And that was that that numbering was to save from transgressing. And maybe you're here today and you look at Christ and you see him just like everyone else. Or you certainly don't see him as he truly is. As the King of Glory. As the Lord from high who came down to earth, who died and who has risen again and who reigns in glory. You just see him numbered still with everyone else. And if you die like that, you're damned. You're destroyed eternally. There is no hope. There were two thieves. One died seeing, one died blind. One died having seen him numbered with the transgressors, and then numbered him as God Himself. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The other died just casting in his teeth, you're a sinner. You're just like the rest of us. You're no more powerful. You're no better than us. If you were this and if you were that, if you were somebody special, you could do something special, but you can't, so you aren't. How are you going to die, friend? Are you going to die numbered with the transgressors? The unsaved transgressors? Are you going to die numbered with transgressors, yes, but transgressors who have put their faith in this great Saviour, those who numbered themselves with Him? Will you not do that? Will you not enroll with Him today by faith? Will you not add your name to the great list, growing day by day and Sabbath by Sabbath? Will you not associate yourself with Him? Join yourself to Him? Identify yourself with Him? Starting now. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we marvel at the plan of salvation. Who could have ever thought it up but thyself? Who could have ever devised such a way of escape? Oh, enable us to see and to embrace Christ as He is presented to us in the Gospel. May the Holy Spirit show us Him in an irresistible way. Oh, that Thou wouldst gather many to Thy side. Whatever the shame, whatever the cost, that there would be many this day who will say, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest, and mean it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.